this is Denise Bean, and welcome back to Braille Bits. Today we're going to talk about Lesson 2. But before we get started, I would like to introduce you to Emily Horton, our Director of the Iowa Department for the Blind. Hi, Emily. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
It is so wonderful to have you here. I've been looking forward to interviewing you for quite some time. But today we're just going to have fun and relax and get to know you a little better. So, Emily, do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
I'll go right ahead.
Perfect. Are you a Braille user?
I have been a Braille user since I've been 22 years old. I was born legally blind and grew up in a small town in northwest Iowa, and I had enough vision that I could read print, so I was not taught Braille. The problem was I could only read print pretty slowly. By the time I got to high school, my maximum reading speed was around 50 words a minute.
Okay.
And that was not cutting it for what I wanted to do in life. I was an English major in college.
Wow.
And I was trying to read print books and things like that. I remember trying to read Beowulf on a CCTV, and it was such a struggle to try and read print. And I was a poet, and I would want to give poetry readings. And I had my poem that I was supposed to read printed out in 16-point font, and I thought I had it mostly memorized. And right. I go to the coffee shop, and I'm given the reading, and it was too dark for me to see the paper. And I forgot the line, and I just kind of panicked. My friend who worked at the coffee house, ran over and turned the lights on. And it was super embarrassing and just really not what I wanted to. I wanted to be able to read and read things back and not have to worry about light or where I'm at. And so I spoke with my rehab counselor here at the department and said, hey, I need to learn Braille. And they sent out a teacher to work with me in my house. And I started to learn Braille. And I ended up coming to the orientation center after college and completed the learning contracted Braille and the Braille code while I was in training. And then I first book I ever read in Braille was Jazz by Toni Morrison.
Oh, wow.
So that was just to be able to read, you know, I love reading, laying down with the book on my stomach. I like that I can just read anywhere. I can take notes down and I can read them back. It's absolutely essential in my job. But when I was giving a poetry reading some years later when I was living in Minneapolis, and I had the poem in Braille and I was reading it. I had there was no podium or anything like that. I was at an art exhibit. So I'm standing up, you know, in front of the group.
Yes.
I would say crowd, but it's a poetry reading, so it's not really a crowd. But the people who was there, so I had it on a binder and I was reading the Braille kind of off of my stomach. And somebody came up to me after the reading and said, you know, you actually give the best eye contact of any reader at the program because you're not looking down at your paper.
Oh, because you're reading it with your fingers.
Yeah, so Braille just really, it completely changed my life, learning Braille as an adult. Just I felt literate. I felt like I could do the things I needed to do in life, like being able to finding my spices in my spice cabinet and reading my cans and things like that that are just, yeah, I could take a can out of the cupboard and I can scan it, you know, with an app and it'll read back to me what it is. But that takes so much longer than just having a Braille label on that can. It's just, there's just 1,000 tiny ways in work and in life that I use Braille, and I just absolutely love Braille. And I'm a big, big advocate for folks, even if you didn't learn Braille as a kid, that you can learn it as an adult. But I'm a big, big advocate also and believer in that even if a kid, you know, can use print, that's great. Not saying don't use print, but if you can learn Braille and that as well, you'll be able to read so much faster in any kind of condition. And it's a skill that you can take with you for the rest of your life. And it's really, if you learn it as a kid, it is just that much easier. But you definitely can learn it as an adult. And I really, you know, encourage anybody who, you know, thinks that, oh, it's too late for me. It's never too late to learn Braille.
You know, I hear so much passion in your voice about the importance of Braille. And I think we are given those moments in life where we have those aha moments, and for you to have had that aha moment where you're sitting in a dimly lit room realizing that, hey, I need to learn Braille, and if I learn Braille, I don't need to worry about the lights being bright or dim. And having that importance of Braille just in everyday life, I think it's so important that our – and I'm going to get off on a tangent and get past this lesson too, but I'm really passionate about Braille as well. In fact, it gives me goosebumps because I think Braille and literacy go hand in hand with our kids. And I love the fact that you say that we should not be afraid because we're older. It's okay that we can learn Braille as we are older in life. And it's not a scary thing, is it, Emily, learning Braille?
No, and honestly, so when I started, after I went to the orientation center, I started teaching in a different orientation center up in Minneapolis. And I taught keen travel, and I taught assistive technology. I taught all the different skills. And I eventually ended up kind of, if there was an opening, I was like the utility infielder. So eventually I ended up in the Braille position because there was an opening in that. And I absolutely loved it. But the thing that was just so frustrating to me, because I would hear from sometimes from teachers, sometimes from rehab counselors, sometimes from, you know, quote-unquote professionals in the field that, oh, Braille is slow and Braille is hard. Mm-hmm. And I was just, if you want to see me
you
get really,
go crazy,
if you want to see me get really angry and kind of freak out on something, you will just go ahead and tell me that Braille is hard because, it takes effort to learn it. It's not something you just, like, snap your fingers and know. Mm-hmm. It's like a learning guitar or any other thing that you want to learn in life. Yeah, it's going to take some effort to do it, but it is not hard. It's just it takes time and it takes effort. And it's a challenge, but so what? So many things are, and it is so worth it to, you know, take that project on and develop literacy. And, you know, and I just so much appreciate the folks who are doing your Braille Bits program and wanting to be supportive of the kids in their lives and the folks in their lives who are using Braille and wanting to, you know, really give positive support and to that endeavor, because what it takes to learn Braille is a positive attitude.
I agree.
Believing you can do it, believing that it's not hard, it's just a challenge and something that's totally doable. That's what really having, and when I was teaching Braille, I developed a curriculum for teaching Braille to adults, and
Codemaster.
Yeah,
and great. I love Codemaster's a wonderful addition, and I tell you, I think very highly of Codemaster and Codemaster Lite, and it's also available in our library, which is better yet. In fact, I have to say this, Emily, the other day. I was visiting with a gal. She was not a patron of her library, but she wanted to learn Braille, and she was losing her sight. And I started off with the Braille Bits program, and then we switched to the Codemaster because she wanted to tactily touch and learn by touch the Braille. And so I sent her out the Codemaster and got her started on the light version of that. But I cannot get over the passion, and I feel that same passion, too. I have a question. I have another question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Tell me what you think. Do you think that by using Braille, it helps you to become independent? And you may have touched on this already a little bit, but do you think it's related to independence by being a Braille reader in life?
I can't. There are a number of folks out there who are blind and do not use Braille, and I don't know how. Just I can't imagine my life without being able to know Braille. Just from the simple conveniences of being able to put magnetic labels on my cans and labels on the boxes and food, things like that. You know, my stove, knowing how to control it, just like those kind of daily sorts of things. But then I just literally could not do my job without Braille. I can't go into a meeting and have, you know, a headphone in my ear listening to the speech. Mm-hmm. I can't listen to a meeting and listen to the speech. I need to be able to take notes in Braille. I need to be able to read back the notes I have. I would be, you know, in my position, I have a lot going on, and I do actually.
Yes, you do.
I do rely a lot on my my executive assistant quite a bit to keep me on track and organized. But her job of keeping me organized would be absolutely impossible if I did not read Braille.
Yes.
Because I would not have my to-do list at all figured out. There's so many just little ways in the day that, you know, I need to be able to write down and take back information. And I love, love, love technology. Don't get me wrong. I, you know, have all the gadgets and use all the gadgets.
I think a lot of people have the gadgets and gizmos.
But yeah. A lot of times people will say, oh, well, Braille is obsolete because we got all the gadgets.
No.
But that's not true. Braille is actually so much better because we have all the gadgets.
Right.
I've got a device here where I can put about an infinite number of books on that device and carry it with me everywhere. And it pops up and the Braille is beautiful and the refreshable Braille display.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll interface with my phone. And I can write Braille on the screen of my phone to send text messages. There was a little glitch in the software on Apple to do the Braille screen input. And mine wasn't working right. And I was just like beside myself. I'm like, how can I send a text without being able to write it in Braille?
Yeah,
I have to use a keyboard. How primitive!
What is that?
And just so it's just a thousand tiny ways throughout the day that just make life run that much smoother and that much better. And I honestly just don't think I could do my job without Braille.
Well, and you know what? And, you know, getting back to that technology piece, we have lots of web addresses, don't we? Web addresses, all these addresses. We have phone numbers and everything. So here's what's kind of neat, too, is I had ran into an old friend of mine, and she is a senior at UNI, and she's blind. She's a Braille reader. She does not go through a day without using Braille or touching Braille, even the first thing out of bed. And I said, do you want my phone number and my email address? She goes, yes. So guess what she did? She pulled out her Slate and Stylus out of her purse, and I gave it to her, and she brailled it, and there she had it. Would she have had that ability to use that had she not, you know, to have that information? So the next day, she sent me an email and gave me a call. Do you know why? Because she used her Slate and Stylus and wrote it down.
Yeah.
And I mean, independence, just another example of being independent.
And having multiple tools in your toolbox, too. Because, I mean, if you gave me a phone number right now and asked me to write it down, I'm probably going to pull out my Q-Braille and put it in there because it's electronic and I'm a little more organized that way. But let's just say my Q-Braille's out of battery because that happens.
That happens.
So then I'm going to pull out.
I'm going to have
a card slate and a stylus and index cards. I try to have them in every single purse that I have or bag so they don't have to, you know, I just don't want to worry about it. I want to be able to grab whatever bag and run off to a meeting and know that if technology fails me, that I will have that Slate and Stylus there and can able to take down the information that I need.
Well, I have to say, Emily, I appreciate you so much and what you do for our agency. You are such a advocate and you have such a love for what you do. You have a love for your people. You have a love for Braille. You have a love for the mission. And it just irradiates out of you. And I just want you to know how grateful I am for you and what you do.
Well, I'm grateful for you. And I'm very excited to be having you in your new position. And
thank you.
I'm so excited about what we're going to be doing in terms of youth programming.
Me too. Absolutely. But now I have a question. I have one more question. Are you willing to help me with lesson 2?
Sure, I'd love to.
Perfect. So what I'm going to do is go through the lesson, and here's your part in it. So I will say the letters, and can you tell me the dot position of the letter I say?
I sure can.
Okay. You ready to get started?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So lesson 2, the second 10 letters of the alphabet. The second 10 letters of the alphabet are formed by adding dot 3 to each of the first 10. Thus, K is formed by adding dot 3 to A, L by adding dot 3 to B, and so on. Memorize the following letters by their dot numbers and configurations. When you do this, I promise you, it will stick. Are you ready to go, Emily?
I'm ready.
All right. Letter K.
Dots 1 and 3.
Letter L.
Dots 1, 2, and 3.
Letter M.
Dots 1, 3, and 4.
Letter N.
Dots 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Letter O.
Dots 1, 3, and 5.
Letter P.
Dots 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Letter Q.
Dots 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Letter R.
Dots 1, 2, 3, and 5.
We just have two more letters to go. Are you ready to go with
mm-hmm.
me? Okay. Letter S.
Dots 2, 3, and 4.
Last but not least, letter T.
Dots 2, 3, 4, and 5.
And you know what I say about letter T? It's terrific. And this whole time with you has been terrific.
See, I always used to say it was letter T for Tetris because it looks like a Tetris piece.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that too.
But my trick on the letter S was always that it's like a snowman, but somebody came along and punched the head and the head's falling off.
Oh, I like that. Do you have any more like this?
Oh.
This is good.
I always, and sometimes when I was working with folks who were print readers, I would point out some of the similarities in the letters, that how they kind of look like print letters.
Mm-hmm.
So like the letter L is everybody's favorite letter because it's easy because it looks like a lowercase print L, right?
It does.
And the letter P, you know, it looks a lot like the letter, a capital letter P in print without the little swirly part underneath of it.
Right.
And so sometimes little tricks like that would help people who are print readers kind of think about the, you know, kind of associate the Braille letters with the...
What a great suggestion. And the letter O kind of looks like the letter... Kind of looks like
yeah,
the letter O, just a little bit.
It's like the
bit.
Right
yeah.
side of it. Yeah.
Right. Oh, see, I'm so happy. One more. The letter R.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like the letter R.
Just missing the leg and the curly part on top.
Yeah. We see your endless bountiful pieces of information, and I just have to say thank you once again for being here today, Emily. It was my honor to have you part of this, and will you come back and do another lesson with
me? Oh, I'd love to.
Perfect.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.